This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Welcome everybody to the show from how many countries now, Martin? Is it 138 we're in?
138 if you include Slovakia, and we do include Slovakia.
Yeah, we've even got Rwanda and Sudan that are listening this week. Although the majority of our listeners are in North America and the UK, we welcome you from all over, and you're into the Accounting Influencers Podcast. Coming up on this week's show, Martin, what are you most excited about?
Well, do you know what? It's been another manic week in accounting, Rob. Who says accountants are boring? It's another manic week. In the news section, we take a look at this MTD referral, and international listeners are going, what? Well, this has an impact for you as well. Listen to that news section to find out why.
Yep, and I did a great interview with a lovely chap from France. It works for Metal, who's a challenger bank as part of NatWest, which is one of the biggest UK banks. A guy called Nick Vrio, he's head of partnerships there. Really interesting stuff about the challenger bank situation, what are they are doing to help accountants and help businesses. So check out the highlights today, and also on Saturday you will get the full deep dive show. Martin, you had another Here's What Works section, and this is a great one this week.
Well, the pricing one seemed to go down well, so we thought we'd do another one. And you know what? I find out with practitioners that it's not that they don't want to market. It's not even that they don't know how to market. It's that they're scared of the unknown. Simple as that. So I lay out the 7 steps, proven, irrefutable steps for the successful marketing plan. And guess what? Doesn't cost you any money either.
And what I like about that is how many years have we spent learning from all the marketing gurus telling us something that is really simple and making it so complex?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you have to have a degree in advanced lingo just to understand some of the things they're talking about. This show, guys, is about making the complex simple. We want you to progress. We want you to help your clients. We want you to improve yourselves. So we make it simple and cut it straight to the bottom line.
And Martin, finally, you had a brilliant interview with someone we know very well, Mr. Dermot Hamblin. He's one of the top connectors in the accounting fintech space, isn't he?
He really is. He really is. And he has been around 25 years, Rob, which is longer than me. But Dermot has a great way of explaining what firms need and how to go and get it. And I recommend this interview to everybody. It's a really great deep dive into practice management.
Yeah, and remember, folks, you hear the highlights on this Monday show, but when you go to the weekend, you can get the full show in all of its glory and do the deep dive. So you've got your news, you've got your guest interview, you've got your Here's What Works on marketing, and you've got your expert interview. Enjoy the show, everybody.
Let's go.
And thank you to our special sponsors, Iris Software, iris.co.uk. Martin, you saw a great video just recently from Iris, didn't you?
Yeah, what I think people don't understand about Iris is they were ahead of the game for MTD Phase 1 because they were the first software vendor to be listed as approved by the HMRC for MTD filing. And guess what? They're fully prepared for the next. So they've got an MTD webinar on demand that you can catch up with at any time. Rob, where did they go to see this?
It's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. That stands for Making Tax Digital for our international listeners. And there's some great stuff there that you need to know to guide you through the whole Making Tax Digital initiative. So iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. Right, Martin?
That's right. So wherever you are in your journey, Iris know that they have the knowledge and tools to help you in the next steps. That's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar.
And so we come to our regular news slot. This is where I ask you, what's caught your eye this week, Martin? And it's got to be only one thing with this Making Tax Digital deferral by the UK government. What's going on?
Little bit comical, this one, Rob. Picture the scene. There is a panel at Accountex where Her Majesty's Revenues and Customs is represented there on the panel. And it's a standing room only situation. And the question comes from the crowd, will there be a deferral on MTD, Making Tax Digital, guys, like there has been before? And the HMRC person, who unfortunately did not get the memo, said, while I can't rule out a deferral, there can be no deferral because it's such a critical part of the revenue strategy, and I have absolutely no information to suggest the possibility of a referral. 24 hours later, Rob, the government announces 12 months deferral on Making Tax Digital. Now, listeners, what does this mean for you? This means that if you're in the UK all the time you have spent learning how to get your clients ready was not for nothing, but is not an immediate need. And all the time you could have spent on practice growth, for example, has been spent on something that you no longer need again. And for you who are not in the UK, bear in mind that when this comes to you, because it's a worldwide strategy, not a UK strategy, bear in mind that your first deadline for implementation may not be the one you have to comply with, nor may the 7th. So for me, Rob, the big news this week is that once again, practices that could have spent time on client care, that could have spent time growing their firm, that could have spent time recruiting talent, have once again had to chase a piece of legislation, only for that legislation to go, oh, you know what? Yeah, not this year, maybe next year. See you again next year, guys. And for me, that's what hamstrings firms so much. It's out of their control, obviously. But because they have to spend such time understanding the technical aspects of implementing legislation, they don't build a practice. They don't build a business for themselves. And so it affects so many different people, software vendors, accounting practitioners, clients alike. It's a big deal this week.
And this has had a 3 or 4 year ramp up. It's been the topic of choice on so many events and exhibitions we've been going to for the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll see triple or quadruple the attendance of one of these seminars as you will for a practice growth or pricing or even practice tech. And I hope the listeners who are in practice take from it that once again, we have spent a huge amount of time, which we're never getting back in our careers, never getting back in our businesses, that we could have been helping the clients, we could have been helping ourselves, but we were chasing legislation instead. Is that what you want to do with your practice? Is the question that you're very welcome to answer me on our chat function, Rob.
Yep, say hi.chat/AIP. We're getting more and more conversations and requests and questions coming in from accounting practitioners and influencers. So if you've got a view on this whole fiasco, and it is a major U-turn, isn't it, Martin? Then drop us a quick voicemail message anonymously or with your details. We'd love to hear from you. But that's enough for the news today. We'll see you on next week's news slot.
Improve your practice while decreasing how hard you work to make your firm really fly.
The Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Welcome to this week's special guest interview, and I'm delighted to have with me today Nick Vrio from Metal at NatWest. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
We're great. Lovely to have you with us. Nick, you are part of the team there at Metal. Just for people that haven't come across Metal, NatWest, you, tell us in 60 seconds what it is you do.
Yeah, sure. So Metal is a challenger bank for SMEs started by NatWest. We like to think we're giving people the financial confidence to turn their passion into an opportunity. So we help SMEs get a business account in minutes via mobile app and start trading. And as for my role, I lead business development and partnerships at Metal. So I focus on distributing Metal via third parties and specifically accountants and accounting software provider.
Now, we have an international audience here, Nick. Challenger Bank, define that for our global listeners.
It's mostly about the customer experience, right? So it's new banking propositions that are redesigned from the ground up. Most of the time, there will be new brand, a bit like First Direct was probably like 20 years ago to HSBC. They tend to start by providing a mobile app only experience or a mobile first experience. You can apply entirely from your phone. There's no paperwork. There is no branch to visit, nothing. It's fast. It's simple. It's all mobile based. The products tend to be simpler to start with. So most challenger banks start by being e-money providers. There are a few examples. Manzo started that way. Tide are an e-money provider. Metal is an e-money provider. What that means is, in effect, we're providing a wallet to customers. They can hold sterling and they can make payments and receive payments in sterling. And then the proposition is developed over time. And it tends to be developed around specific customer needs. So challenger banks don't try to replicate the Barclays, NatWest, and Lloyds of the world. They tend to follow a customer-centric approach where they try to answer like their needs.
Are challenger banks all over the world? Are you international?
So Metal is not. So we follow the same strategy that NatWest have, which is we focus on the UK market. But yes, like it's a phenomenon that's been happening across the world. In France, they call them the neobanks. But in France, you've got Konto, who are spreading across Europe. There are like in France, in Germany, and Italy. In the US, you've got Chime. So there are examples everywhere. Like it's basically a perfect storm of technology has become cheaper, more accessible. It's become easier to start a financial services company in the last few years, more friendly regulation, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are a lot of new entrants who are trying to take market share away from the incumbents.
Of course. And you mentioned the lower barrier to entry for challenger banks. Is it crowded then? Are there lots of people doing what you do? Talk to us about the competition.
So if I talk about a few of our competitors, right? So like the obvious ones in the market, you've got Starling, Tide, Monzo, Revolut, and they've been at it for a few years now, like 3 to 5 years, I'd say. So they're having good success. They have a good proposition. They've built like strong brands, et cetera. And I think some of them are starting to work to go over the hurdle of trust that I was mentioning earlier. Mm. And then you've got like a lot of smaller players, and we're one of them at Metal, right? But like the likes of Anemone, you had Coconut, who obviously like pivoted away from banking and more into the accounting side of things. You've got Counting Up into that space. You've got Cash Plus, who were more of a traditional prepaid card provider, and they are pivoting like to becoming a full stack bank. So it's quite a crowded market.
And this must be driven by the younger generations of business owners, because the millennials, the Gen Zs, the Gen Xs, these are young people. They're not used to walking down a high street and going into a bank to do their finances. Either they want it in the cloud, they want it digital.
We did some research earlier this year with YouGov at Metal, and we found out nearly every other adult in the UK has had some experience of getting income from a platform, right? Like with a gig economy platform in general. That could be Airbnb, that could be Uber, that could be Deliveroo, that could be a number of things, right? Or selling things on Etsy. And it's huge. Like as in half of the adult population has had an exposure to earning side income. And then the contribution to the UK GDP is estimated to be 125 billion in the next 3 to 5 years. Again, massive numbers, right? So there is something that's happening, like a shift in society that we're very keen to help with, to support at Metal.
And how important is it that business banking links to cloud software? I know you have a very good partnership with Free Agent, Nick, don't you?
If you're going to be running a business, you probably like want to have your like wrap your head around three things. One is get a sense of the health of your business. Are you making money? Do you understand how you spend, where you spend, that sort of thing, right? And I think like here, it's a combination of, okay, you're probably going to need a business account. You don't want to leave like to mix your spend and income up with your personal expenses and income.
Yeah.
And the second thing is you're going to need some help in interpreting that data. And that help might come in the shape of an accountant and or accounting software. So I think today, and that's what we've been doing with Free Agent, obviously very successfully, we created an integration between Metal and Free Agents. So we synchronize bank transactions. So what you see in Free Agent is what you see on your bank account. We synchronize the receipts that you can capture from the Metal app with Free Agent. So it's another part, important part of getting ready for tax is the record keeping. We help people categorize transactions in the Metal app. These transaction categories flow to Free Agent as well. They are very important because transaction categories will often underpin tax rules.
And your role is head of partnerships and business development. It seems like you don't go directly to the businesses. You work through other fintech vendors and perhaps accounting firms. How do you work with them, and what are the benefits of that for them of working with you, Nick?
The way we approach the market and the accounting market in particular is primarily through software. I speak to accountants, but actually I spend a lot of my time focusing on how to create value by bringing Metal and Free Agent together. What we want to do is have an integration, have a product as Metal that makes sense for the customer, have an integration that, again, adds value, removes hassle for the customer, removes hassle for the accountant. Metal is free. So you don't have any monthly fees. You don't have any transaction fees when you use Metal as an account. You can chat with your customer service agents via the app, and that modern feel is super important. And we're by NatWest. So the trust element comes in every single time we speak to accountants about Metal.
You're very passionate about what you do, Nick. If the accounting firms, professionals listening, or even the fintech vendors want to have a chat to you and talk more about what you're doing, what's a good way for them to reach you and find out more?
Either via LinkedIn or accountants@metal.co.uk, accountants with an S.
Thank you so much for your time and the fascinating insights into the world of banking and business relationships. That's been great.
Thank you very much.
Influencers Podcast.
Cutting through the crap to bring you the very best interviews, insights, and wisdom
from the planet's most influential people in the accounting and fintech world. The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
And now we come to the second in our new section. We used to be a Martin Bissett rant, but we've created this Here's What Works section. And we did last week, Martin, Here's What Works in pricing. That was a big topic. We got a lot of response from that, didn't we?
Absolutely. Now, here's what works is because this is what has proven to be the case, guys. Okay, so this is not theory. It's not, I read it in a book and I thought I'll regurgitate it to you. It is what has worked in consulting with practices large and small throughout the land, throughout every land, throughout forever. Okay, So this is it. So Rob, here's what works. And when we talked about pricing last week, we talked about how in order for certain gurus to prolong their careers, they have to make something quite simple into something quite complex. Otherwise, you get through the content too quickly. Now, marketing, again, very simple, but very difficult for non-marketers to get their head around. So here's the thing I need you to understand, guys, right from the outset. You don't need to do what I'm about to suggest to you. You need to understand what I'm about to suggest to you and then get someone to do it for you so that you know whether they're doing it right or not, okay?
So this is Here's What Works for accounting firms on marketing.
This is a template right now. I'm going to give you 7 steps. It ain't going to take long. You will need to deep dive on each of them to get the full flavor, but I'm going to give you a taste on Here's What Works because I can prove this to have worked year in, year out. There are 7 steps to a marketing strategy. Now, I said marketing strategy. I did not say marketing tactics. There is a difference between strategy and tactics. Strategy in football, that's soccer to our international listeners, might be to win all of our home matches and therefore get a points average that's strong in the league. That's the strategy. What's the tactics? Well, it might be a 4-4-2 formation, might be a sweeper system. So strategy, what is it we're going to do? Tactics, how are we going to do it? These are your 7 steps to successful firm marketing. Number one is the hardest one of all 7, and that is message. You've got to decide what you're telling people apart from we are a firm of chartered accountants and business advisors. Okay, the entire world is full of that message, you know, because of course in the late 90s it was chartered accountants and business advisors as there's differentiation. Woo!
Yeah.
And now, you know, of course, that's become passé. So what are we telling people? Here's an example of what we tell people. I had a consulting client a couple of years ago, and we're working on message, and we hit an absolute brick wall. And everything that the managing partner came up with, I said, so what? So what? So what? And I was goading him, and I was goading him on purpose. And so eventually, after too many so whats, he got angry at me, slammed his fist down on the table, and said, damn it, Martin. We give people the business they need to give them the life they want.
Mm.
And then I said, you what? They went, oh. So I'm not going to go into that any deeper, guys. Okay. But there was the word accountancy was not in there.
Okay? And that starts a conversation, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And he wove it into all of his material then. So when he did a VAT update, it was to get the business you need to get the life you want, you've really got to be compliant on the new VAT regulations. And he worked it like that.
Okay. So Number two.
Once you've got that message, who's your audience? Because everybody with a pulse is not the audience. Maybe you go after charities. Maybe you go after the farming and agricultural sector. Maybe you're a generalist. But do you have the data? Do you know how many there are? Do you know who they're currently with in terms of accountants? Do you know who the decision makers are? Do you know your audience? Do you have the data? No point trying to market when you don't know where the audience lives.
And this is niching, isn't it, for our American cousins, the idea of specialization.
Absolutely. And for the Americans, it should be pronounced niche. It's a French word. Okay. Niche. You scratch an itch. Okay. A niche is something that is specialist. Next one. Prioritize three ways in which to reach that audience. Now, I'm not going to prescribe which ways. That's up to you. Okay. You may want to go and exhibit at conferences. You may want to speak at conferences. You may want to write. You may want to hold seminars or webinars. I'm not prescribing that. All I'm saying is prioritize three. Anything more than three ain't a priority. Priority is three ways to find your audience proactively. Number four of seven steps is this. Find three ways for the audience to find you. So when you're asleep, how does somebody reach you? Do they find your website? Is it some sort of banner ad you're running? Are you in the local paper? What is it? How do people find you? Step five now. When you have all of those, what resources do you need? So you might look at those three ways to find, three ways to be found, and you might say, okay, to do that, we need a little bit of CRM software. Okay, maybe we need 10 hours of a marketer's time a month. Okay, maybe we need to get something designed for us. Maybe we need to redo the website. It doesn't really matter. But decide what your resources are and the spend on those resources, and decide if you're going to commit yourself to them. Step six is the opposite. What return? What metrics, what measures are you going to put in place to see if this was successful or not? Is one new lead good enough? Is one grade A new client good enough? Measure what matters to you. And if you don't have that measure, how do you know that the investment in marketing worked? And then step seven, almost as hard as step one, J-D-I, just do it. Or as it knows some places, J-F-D-I, just flipping do it. Proactively schedule these things to happen. Set aside sacrosanct, non-interruptible time, because otherwise you know what you're going to do. You're going to take a phone call or you're going to answer an email and nothing will progress. If you're serious about growing your firm, and let's be honest, not all practices are serious about growing their firms. If you're serious about growing your firm, that seven-step plan is proven to work in that order every time.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Martin. And just to wrap up, if you're an accounting practitioner without a marketing department or a function, you've got to do a lot of this yourself. But otherwise, this is to lay out as a strategy for the firm and get people to do it, Martin, right?
Yeah, as I say, all you need to do is understand it, not implement it. Your job is to understand it, get someone else to implement it. You're too expensive to implement it. Get someone else to do it.
You're listening to the Accounting Influencers Podcast. Cutting through the crap to bring you the very best interviews, insights, and wisdom.
From the planet's most influential people in the accounting and fintech world.
With Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Now it's time for the expert interview. And as you know, I get the privilege to sit down with people whom I regard as being legitimate experts. They haven't necessarily got the great book out that everyone looked at and never read, but what they do have is an irrefutable third-party bank of social proof that what they know or what they can do has worked in accounting practices all over the place. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Dermot Hamlin, who is the founder of Langdon Hamlin. Dermot, welcome.
Hi, Martin. Very privileged to be here.
The feeling is mutual. What is a Langdon Hamlin? What does it do? And why should the practitioner audience listening to this care?
Yes, a great question. So, Martin, I've actually been working with the profession since May the 1st, 1996. And that was the day that I joined a small software house called Iris Software. So I was number 44 on the payroll, 3 million revenues. And I had a fantastic 10 years there, which, you know, took me from being a boy to a man. In kind of selling terms, ended up as the corporate sales director, went through two, if not three, VC flips. And, had a thoroughly entertaining and educational time at Iris. When I left, it was 35 million revenue, give or take, and about 250 people. So, rapid rise. If we weren't doing kind of 20% year on year, then, people wanted to know. And obviously when once the money men get involved, that's a very different conversation to when it's a privately owned business. And then since then, I've worked with, you know, a couple of other software houses at kind of director level. But, you know, for the last 10 years, I've been working for myself, self-employed. So I think it was early November 2011. Even with my limited maths, I can work that out. That was 10 years ago. And I help both vendors and I help practitioners. So I'm, you know, I've got the attention span of a kind of goldfish. So I like to sit on both sides of the table. So I help practitioners with the move, you know, from being a legacy firm to a firm which is taking advantage of all of the opportunities which present themselves in the current environment. And then I also help vendors with their go-to-market strategies. Quite often that's been people who are launching into the UK. So I spent the best part of 2 years with your good friend of mine, Colin Dunn and Rob Nixon of Panalytics, launching them back 2015 to 2017. And then, you know, helping some of the vendors, be that in the app environment or other audit tools, launch into the UK.
Excellent. So there's a huge amount to unpack there. So I'm going to go to one particular thing. Go-to-market strategy for vendors. I think we understand that at face value. But you mentioned helping legacy firms take advantage of what's coming next. What do we mean by a legacy firm?
I suppose one way you could argue that that's quite a harsh description, but I think it's people who have, you know, realised that they've got to move from where they were to take advantage of what is a modern firm, what does a modern firm look like, or indeed, you know, what is a digital firm? Everyone uses this phrase, we're a digital firm of accountants, but nobody really has defined that. And once you start asking some, you know, questions around that, you know, one person who's got a zero badge, you know, on the front door will have, you know, 100% of their clients on Xero and, you know, Dext and utilizing some of the apps that are available. And others will have kind of, you know, barely unpacked the software from the metaphorical software box. But both can, you know, call themselves a digital firm. So I think it's working with firms to actually make sure that they've got some people strategies in place, that they've got a vision of where they as a firm are going. And I think that should be very firmly driven by what the owners want to get out of the business. You know, it's your kind of toy, so you're allowed, entitled to play with it how you want. And obviously that's got to be very different from a sole practitioner through to, you know, I'm working with a firm who've got kind of just around about 100 people, you know, working for them. The thing that interests me about accountancy is just the sheer breadth and kind of the firms that there are. You know, whenever you start a business, doesn't matter what sector you're in, you've got to, you know, scramble and hustle for those first few years to get clients on board and then get to a level of income that you're happy with. And then you can work on whatever you want to work on. So with some people, they might want to, you know, have a good income stream, but take the excess money to build themselves a property portfolio, which, you know, several accountants do. And that's great. I think that's really interesting. Or others might, too, you know, get in really deep with some firms that, you know, come knocking on the door. Or, you know, you can focus in certain areas, you know, R&D, or you can dig deep into tax. So it's just the sheer breadth of opportunity that exists. And the fact that, you know, we might have 35,000, give or take, or our good chum, Steve Cox, would probably say there's a lot more than that, accountancy firms in the UK. But, you know, they're all very different.
2 points I want to bring out of what you just said there. You mentioned, you know, that for practice owners, it's their toy and they have the right to play with it as they see fit. So they need to decide what they want out of it. Yet you and I both know that if we, and it's such a broad church, I agree, the term accountants, but if we go to the provincial firm and go to the leadership of the provincial firm and ask them point blank, what do you want out of the practice and by when, they can't answer that. So why? What's your diagnosis? What's your analysis on why something as simple as deciding what I want out of the practice and by when isn't a standard behavior within an accounting firm?
I think it comes back to probably that cliche, and I know you asked me to keep away from cliches, but it's the fact that accountants are great at helping other businesses have their things in order, but they're never very good at working, you know, on their own businesses.
I was monitoring a Facebook conversation. They were asking, you know, should we make the client fit our mold and one size fits all and that one size is zero? Or should we be multi-platform in order to serve the client's needs? Which side of the fence do you sit on?
Well, I think it depends upon the, you know, the size of the firm. For a smaller firm, you know, let's say 1-2 partners with, you know, just up to 10 people, then there are some quite big efficiency benefits to them to just choose one platform, whatever that platform happens to be. And, you know, that comes around the fact that there's, you know, shall we say, one set of updates to percolate throughout the team, you know, to be shared over a lunch and learn, or training sessions, however the firm does that. There's only one vendor conference to go to, be that, you know, QBC Connect or Xerocon or Iris World. There's also, I think, the often kind of mentioned benefit that if you are stuck, you know, you can't remember how to do something in whatever software product you are using, you can just turn to the person next to you, tap them on the shoulder, and they'll be able to tell you. I think within slightly larger firms, then you should create teams, you know, so you'll have a team that will focus on vendor A, vendor B, vendor C, and see that through. But, you know, the tools that we've talked about, and they are tools, you know, much as I love software, I've worked in software for, you know, most of the 25 years. So I must admit, some of the passion and tribalism that we see in the current environment does amuse me.
Yeah, the blue or the green. If we're talking about smaller firms, and you mentioned there that for correlation purposes, for efficiency purposes, when they are one or two partners, when they've got maybe up to 10 staff, then it's good for them to have one system. And therefore, it keeps the whole thing coherent. That I understand completely, and that argument I completely understand.
Yeah.
Do you think that risks, or does that prohibit growth as they try and break out of being one to two partner, 10 staff, and they try and take a step up the ladder in the type of prospects they attract?
I think once you've actually said to that particular client, look, you know, we use software ABC, which just doesn't happen to be QuickBooks, and, you know, you would be an exception rather than the rule, so you're much better off going to find, you know, a QuickBooks provider, then it's probably much easier to actually do. I think with everything in life, that the more you focus down on stuff, then you become better known in that, you know, software ABC world. And therefore, it's by being well known in software ABC world that you attract far more people than you would actually, you know, turn away by trying to be all things to all men.
What do you enjoy? What do you get involved in? Where do your passions lay? Who is Dermot away from the accounting world?
So I love sport, but I live about 50 yards now from a sports club, old traditional sports club in the UK. So that means rugby union, cricket, bowls and squash. So I've been playing squash for a long time. Can't say I've ever been particularly good at it, but I do hold the quite unique title that I've actually had a squash ball in both eyes on separate occasions, which is not something I'd recommend to anybody else. It is pretty painful. And also I'm kind of at that stage in my sporting career where I'm involved in the administration. So I've raised a fair bit of money across the way. So I'm pleased to say that I've raised 150 grand for the sports club, which we've put to use with the complete refit of AstroTurf floodlights, which just got finished off yesterday. Last of the floodlights went in, so that's great. That will be a massive cash injection for you know, for the club. 30 grand on a tractor, which our beloved accountant actually, you know, we got a 20 grand grant and our accountant turned that into a 30 grand tractor. So yes, if there are any accountants who do have any spare time, then your local sport clubs need you more now than ever before.
This is a podcast for largely accounting practitioners. And as I said at the start, it's in 138 countries now, with the predominant territories being the expected ones, UK, US and Australia. So presumably firms in any of those territories are firms that you can help in one way or another. So those listening to this who have made a decision to start having a conversation, where do they start? Where do they go to?
Yeah, so I'm reasonably active on LinkedIn, so that would be the best place to start. Yeah, obviously any of the English-speaking countries that you mentioned are pretty good, but, you know, I was lucky enough to spend 7 months working in Varna, Bulgaria. So if there are any Bulgarians, you know, listening into the pod and want a bit of help, then my 20 words of Bulgarian can still be, you know, put to good use.
Excellent. Excellent. So LinkedIn, guys, to reach out to Dermot and to take that first step forward with a hand holder to get to the next stage of the practice's development. Dermot, on that note, I want to thank you very much indeed for your time to be with us on Expert Interview today. And I look forward to hearing more about Langdon Hannam's developments throughout the rest of this year and 2022.
Thank you. As ever, Martin, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. And thank you for the opportunity.
Now, one of the big topics for accountants at the moment is making tax digital. It's going to hit you globally at some point. Martin, our friends at Free Agent have got something to help with here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an accounting practice, you'll have already had the conversation at some level about how do you get your practice ready to conquer making tax digital? Well, at Free Agent, they've got a 30-minute consultation waiting for you. Each session is designed to help accountants and bookkeepers get their practices ready for the next stages of making tax digital, or MTD. And Free Agent's in-house experts will offer advice on how to segment your client base, choose the right MTD compatible software for your practice and clients, and train and educate the team and clients on the upcoming changes. After your consultation, though, you'll receive a tailored action plan with the next steps for your practice. So, Rob, for listeners who want to get that consultation and the tailored report, where do they go?
Go to freeagent.com/AIP for the Accounting Influencers podcast, freeagent.com/AIP, and they can book that consultation today. Goodness me, Martin, how do we manage to cram so much into one show?
Well, I wonder which ones people like best. One of the things I love doing, Rob, is I love looking at the podcast analytics after the shows have come out to see which ones the listeners have liked the best. You know, because we try and give you as much as we can, guys, and we very much welcome your suggestions on what you would like to hear about. But you know what? Even if you don't, we have a lot waiting for you in future shows too. But yeah, this week was a heavy one.
Well, we started off, didn't we, with the MTD deferral, and goodness me, that's a real U-turn by the UK government. You know that making tax digital is something that's coming to a country near you in the near future, wherever you are. It's the government's insistence on dictating the strategy for accounting firms. And it kind of went wrong, didn't it, this week?
Yeah, another deferral. And I think the big takeaway for the firms listening to this podcast is, do we always want to be beholden to this? Do we always want to be event-driven by what the government's telling us to do on compliance work? Or can we build something of value with our professional knowledge that goes beyond recording history?
Yeah, and I had a great chat with Nick Vrio from Metal, part of the NatWest Group. They're a challenger bank. We heard some great stuff from Nick about how challenger banks are making a difference now in the accounting world, and how they serve specifically the small business market much better than your high street banks. And given that so many business owners now, Martin, the age is dropping all the time, isn't it, for entrepreneurs, and accountants and banks and the whole vendor ecosystem needs to get on board with these younger, more digitalized ways of looking at things.
Well, I think you've got some great stats on the average age of a business owner these days, Rob, but you know, you and I are both customers of traditional and challenger banks, and we know the difference when we're in business in terms of user friendliness between the two, and the challenger banks win every time.
Yeah, so we had a great little highlight section of that interview with Nick. You can get the full one on Saturday if you want the special edition. Then we did our new Here's What Works, and you looked at marketing, Martin. It's one of your pet subjects, isn't it?
Yeah, guys, and the takeaway I want you to take from this one is, if you can handle the 7 steps that I've outlined in that section, then go for it. If you can handle 4 of them, go for it. If you can handle 1 of them, go for it. Just do something to take your message out, because you have the ability to profoundly improve the lives of business owners that you look after, wherever they are, whatever size they are, whatever business they're in, but you are too bogged down with compliance. I want you to break out of that cycle. I want you to go help people, and this template will get you there faster.
And finally, Martin, what a great interview with Dermot Hamblin. He is a true heavyweight, isn't he, of the accounting and fintech world?
You know what, Rob? When I set up the interview with Dermot, I didn't know how it was going to go, because him and I could just talk forever about all kinds of subjects. But he was straight to the point. And the major takeaway from this one for our listeners is how practices don't always operate as businesses, and how, as a business, you would have someone to help you plan for your exit. You would have someone help you structure your organization. You would have various things in place, which many accounting practices just don't have in place because they're busy chasing deadlines, busy looking after clients, and it's just, we'll do it at some point. And Dermot was really showing us what happens when you get someone external to hold your hand and structure your practice, about how your goals become so much closer to you when you take that time to treat your practice as a business.
Yeah, and for me, it wasn't long enough. I know it was a 7 to 10 minute highlight reel of everything that he said. People can get the full show coming out on Sunday as a bonus deep dive episode. But yeah, great interview, and another action-packed show, wasn't it?
It really was. And for some reason, we are seeing the downloads just go from strength to strength, and we're still trying to get to the bottom of what has suddenly caused this spike. We hope, guys, it's because you're loving what we're doing and you would like more of it. So until we know different, that's what we're going to do.
Well, I'm not going to say that the difference is you, Martin, seeing as I was running this podcast for a couple of years before you came along, but obviously your charismatic personality is drawing in the listeners from everywhere.
Who am I to get in the way of a good rumour?
Well, thanks everybody for listening. You can leave us a message if you want to at sayhi.chat/AIP. We're always interested in your comments. Enjoy the rest of your day and we'll see you on the next show.